the gospel of Jesus Christ and the way that it helps us through our trials. And we're mindful of the trial that Dearcy's going through at this time and her family. And we pray for them. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the scriptures and the guidance that they give to us. And we pray that Thou would help us now to have soft hearts and to understand the direction that we should go. We love Thee and we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay. Well, give me an update. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I actually would rather hear from you. I left her really hurt and devastated and not feeling supported last time. So I want to know your thoughts on what happened and what you said. And because I'm still in the same place.
Yeah. Well, good. I think that's important for us to clarify what happened. Would you put your phone down?
Sure.
Thank you. You know, I think we see this issue differently. And I feel like in my perception, which is limited, right? I don't know everything, but in my perception, for what it's worth, I think that you're going through the grieving process. Most people, when they experience trauma, that's very normal, that they go through some grieving. And there's different stages of grieving, right? One of those stages is anger, you know, to be angry about it. And at least the last time that we met, I felt like that's probably the stage where you were at. And I don't know the reasons, and I'm sure probably I've contributed to that in some way. But I see that as the stage where you're at. And that's okay. That's not breaking any rules, right? You're allowed to be angry. You're allowed to grieve. That's not a problem. What I mean is I'm not inserting myself because of that. You know, I'm not asserting myself because Tiercy's acting angry and she needs to not act angry. That's not it at all. You're allowed to be angry. You should be angry. And so that's one assessment. Do you disagree with that? I don't know if you... What do you think about that?
I feel like everything you said today is right on. I feel like you did not give me space to be angry. I feel like you accused me of being angry, which is quite different than the allowance that you're giving me today. That's how I feel. Because you said the words, you're just angry, which to me does not give room to feel that way.
Yeah. Fair enough. Where do you think that you're at in that anger? Do you feel like you're coming out of it? Or do you think you're still feeling that way?
So here's what I feel like you don't understand. You hear the word divorce and you think it's done. I have reiterated many times the personal attacks that come from and that makes me angry. Those personal attacks make me angry.
Yeah.
So no, I'm not done. I'm divorced, but it is not done. Those personal attacks still come.
Sure.
With quite brutally. Yeah. So yeah, I get angry all over again. I get hurt all over again.
And I would say that's fairly common. I'm not saying it's okay or anything. I'm just saying...
What is common?
That when people get divorced, they continue to have this rehash and the hurt and the...
But you're not understanding me. I don't feel like you're hearing me. It's the brutal attacks from him. Verbal, personal attacks. That's not common with every divorce. And I have tried to show you in proof and from texts in my phone, and you'd never want to see them, which is fine. You're not understanding. It's the brutal attacks that don't need to be there. I have chosen not to be nasty in my divorce. There are moments where I have been brutally, personally attacked that I strike back and I take the low road. But 90% of the time, I take the high road to be that person that I want to be and to be Christ-like. Does not. And I could prove it to you. But I don't have to.
I wish that he would.
But he doesn't, because that's what he's done our whole marriage. It's who he is. However, they are much more personal now than they've ever been. So I don't know why I felt like I needed to make the point. Like, it's not the fighting. I can handle fighting. It is a disagreement. I can handle that. It is personal attacks that I don't deserve. And that is what is hard. So yeah, I get angry. Thank you for the tissue. I get angry and hurt all over again. It happened last week because I sent a very factual text about the fact that I need to get daycare for our daughter because summer's coming. I was very factual in my text, just so you, because I have to, according to the agreement, let him know, because he will be having to pay money for it, extra money. And I get back this huge long diatribe of how I'm bitter and angry and I just don't like him and I'm doing this to be difficult, when the truth of the matter is my daughter needs daycare. So no, this is not what happens in every divorce. Unfortunately.
I didn't say that.
Oh, I'm sorry if I misunderstood you. It's common.
And I deal a lot with,
but I feel like you don't understand what's happening with me.
You're right, I don't. I don't know the exact specifics.
Right.
I don't pretend to. All that I'm saying is that I work a lot with divorced couples, and I see a lot, not exactly your situation, but I see a lot of this kind of a thing where it doesn't magically just get better once the divorce happens, right? There's still a lot of pain, a lot of hurt. Couples don't just magically become friends. I mean, some do become friends afterward, but... So I'm sympathizing with you. I'm sad for you. I'm sad for both of you, because I know he's mourning. I know you're mourning the loss, and I'm sad for that. I am. I don't know if you believe me, but I am.
I don't believe that is mourning.
Well, again, I'm sharing with you my perception.
I know. You asked me, and I just responded. So, yeah.
How are your kids?
They're well.
Good.
They're well.
Three. And,
I mean, struggling, but well.
Are they all taking it in stride, do you think? Who's struggling with it the most?
Different aspects for different... Each of them are different, you know.
Yeah,
but
I understand what you mean.
But they're fine. I mean, they're good. The therapist said that because they're good in every other way, that it helps with this, you know. So they're doing well. I mean, their grades have stayed up. They're still straight A students. It's been really a blessing for sure. So
that's good.
Yeah. Well. So I still want to talk about, I want to see if you still feel the same way, because you mentioned to me two different meetings, but you feel like meeting because he was our home teacher is the same thing as you meeting women for recommend interviews.
I don't feel like that's what I've said.
Okay, that's how I have taken it. How do you feel like you meant it? Because it's been said in two different meetings, so I'm really perplexed.
I don't feel like that's... I don't feel like that's what I've said. Maybe that's what's been understood, but let me rephrase it. And hopefully I'll communicate what I'm really trying to communicate. It is one thing to tell people. I'm just talking. I'm not accusing. I'm just talking. It is one thing to tell someone, so-and-so had an affair with so-and-so. And it is another thing, totally, completely different, for to say, so-and-so was starting to have feelings with so-and-so. Those are two different things. Now, I'm not saying, let me tell you what I'm not saying. I am not saying both are, One is bad, one is okay. That's not what I'm saying. They're both terrible and inappropriate. They're a violation of temple covenants. They're dishonoring your priesthood. They're both wrong, but they're both different. That's what I'm saying. And so I think that's a mischaracterization to say, well, you're saying that because he meets with so many home teachers, that's no different than, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's, I think it's wrong to tell people that had an affair with. Now, is what did with wrong? It's absolutely wrong. And I'll side with you all day long on that. And I told that to his face. I felt like what he had done was wrong. But no, they did not sleep together.
I never said they slept together.
I know you didn't.
I've never said that.
I know you didn't. But when people hear that they had an affair.
Emotional affair. I always say emotional affair. Maybe not in here, because I know you've said that to me. I always tell people emotional affair.
Tiercy, I must be honest with you.
Sure, be honest.
There are many people. That's not a pretend exaggeration. Many people. Who have come to me and have said, did you know that slept with? That's wrong. And invariably, I end up asking, where did you hear this? And it traces back to you. Now, I'm not attacking you. I'm being honest. I'm being sincere. I can only say what I know. And I'm not exaggerating. I could give you a list of people. Because they're... And actually, you should feel somewhat good about this. It's people running to your aid often to say you're not being fair to her. And slept together. And I say, wait a minute, hold on. First of all, I'm not allowed to talk about this with you. That's confidential. But where did you hear this? And it traces back to you. So what I'm trying to communicate...
Have you ever heard of the telephone game?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But what am I to conclude? What am I to conclude?
Well, how about you investigate and ask the person who's talking?
I am.
And I do say emotional affair all the time.
I'm asking you
not
to say that all the time. That's precisely when Bishop and I sat in front of you. That's precisely the invitation that I've given you, is to not do that. And I feel, I'm just saying what Russ feels, I feel like you're not listening and following our counsel. And
I feel, by you asking me to do that, you're denying me. I am a very external person. I have 5 people that I talk to. 2 are my sisters, clear back in Maryland. 1 is not even in the ward. Okay, 6. 2 are my neighbors, and 1 is my visiting teacher. And so 3 would be in the ward. Okay. Now, I have at other times talked with other people 1 time, here or there. Now listen.
Could I share a list of people with you?
Yeah, go ahead, share a list.
Because I think that's fair. I think it's fair to you. I mean, well, let's not talk in such abstracts. Let's be more... I have to go to my email.
You're fine.
Now, to protect confidences, I won't say names. Fair?
Well, then what are you going to give me?
A number.
Yeah, I don't want a number. Yeah, I don't want it. Because here's why. And I said this to you the same night. Do you know that it got back to my work? And do you know how it got back to my work? Because of not because of me. I don't talk about this at work. Work is a clean slate for me. I do not talk about it at work. But guess how it got back to my work? Because she was talking about it at a gym.
I wouldn't condone that. I wouldn't say that's
I'm not saying you are condoning it. I just want you to know she has the reputation for being the biggest talker. And she has talked about this many times to many people. Her visiting teachers were changed over the summer. The Relief Society president went to her and said, do not talk about this with your new visiting teachers. Guess who talked about it with their new visiting teachers? So I refuse to take all the responsibility. No.
I'm not saying you should take all of it.
I refuse to take responsibility for other people's actions because I cannot do that.
I'm only talking
all
about
I can control
your
about
actions.
Is me. Yeah. And I know that as much as some people are internal, I am external. I have to process out here. It is the way that I am. It is the way that I am. My therapist even said that you are extremely external.
But I'm asking you not to be. I'm asking you. Please, I'm asking you
not to be who I am. You're doing exactly what did to me.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute, please. Please don't turn this into that. I'm not attacking you. I'm just saying, I'm asking you not to share this with other people. That's what I'm asking. And what I'm hearing back from you is, I'm sorry, I can't do that. That's what I'm hearing.
What you should hear is not how I process things and not how I go through things and not how I experience things. You're asking me to not be me.
Could I show you, could I tell you what I think that is like? To me, that is like, for example, a stake president and a bishop are expected to keep confidences, and we do. I don't talk about this, period. Because I know that if I did, the Lord would stop using me. He'd be done with me. That's then like people coming in to me to talk about their sins and their different things. And then me saying, look, I know I'm supposed to keep this confidential, but I can't. I am an external person. I've got to share this. That's how I process things. Wouldn't you agree with me that that would be wildly inappropriate for me to do that?
Let me respond to you, please. I 100% agree that would be inappropriate. This is what I have learned through counseling. There are many things I know about at marriage that she has told me. I don't ever talk about those, ever. I am not a gossip. I do not talk about the stuff that I know about other people, and I know a lot of stuff. However, I am very free to talk about my experience and what's happened to me. Sorry that she involved herself in my marriage and my life and the demise of my marriage. That is a part of my experience. So yes, I talk about that. However, I do not talk about the things about that are personal to her marriage. I don't talk about so-and-so or so-and-so and so-and-so. I don't do that because I keep confidences. But this is a part of my shared experience that she inserted herself into my life and my experience and has created a world of hurt for me. A world of hurt.
I wouldn't disagree with that last statement. But
that's not the point.
What she's done.
But what I'm saying is I don't talk about something that is not my realm of experience. I do keep confidences. I have never once told you the problems in her marriage that I know about. How do I know about them? Because she told them to me.
That's fair.
But I have learned in therapy, it is okay to talk about your world, your life, and what you are experiencing. What I experienced is my husband had an emotional affair on me. She did not stop it. She did not run the other way. No, you said to me at one point, when I meet women for recommend interviews, my wife doesn't know who it is. She doesn't know. I don't tell her. And you equated that to that's the part that I don't understand. Well, do you remember saying that?
I do. I do remember that that I felt like you cited several examples where was talking to her. And I responded to that by saying, you cannot then just conclude that that means they were talking about sex in that moment. That's what I was responding by saying. And then I used as an example, I talk to women all the time. And my wife rarely knows who I'm meeting with. She doesn't know that I'm with you right now. I think it would be inappropriate for my wife maybe to look down the hall and when we finish here and me shaking your hand, for her to say, Russ was probably talking about sex with Tiercy. That would be inappropriate. And that was the parallel that I was drawing.
I understand that. However, I have told you they talked about sex. And okay. How do I know? Because told me.
That's another issue. I'm saying for someone to see someone down the street talking to someone else, I just don't think you can make that correlation.
I understand why you're saying that. However, do we not belong? Are home teachers supposed to go into the house if the husband's not there?
No, they're not.
Are men and women allowed to drive, or supposed to drive, but to the same church activity?
But I've already drawn that parallel. I've already said to you, I think what did was inappropriate. I'm not trying to justify actions. I think
we're maybe going, I misunderstood, because that's exactly what I feel like you.
No, in fact, feel like I have said over and over again that I think what did was
wrong.
I don't
think I've ever heard that from you.
How could that be? At the very beginning of this interview, I said there is one thing to have an affair, there is one thing to have an emotional affair. Both are wrong.
And because we're talking about affairs.
What?
Yeah, affairs are wrong.
Yeah, but in what other plain language do I need to say to you, I think that what did was wrong?
Because I still feel like you're condoning the fact that he met behind my back. Because what you're saying
is, what I think I'm saying, or what I am saying, is that that is different. Surely you must agree with that. I just cannot see how you would not agree with that.
Because behind my back, he's meeting her, and they're both lying to me about it. And her husband told her to lie to me about it. So what do they need to talk about that they're all lying to me about it?
Well,
that's my issue. They've lied to me about it.
Can I clarify why I wanted to meet with you today?
Sure.
Because despite how you feel, which I think I know how you feel about me, I want you to know that I sincerely want to help you. I've fasted for you. I've prayed for you many times. And I'm not lying about that. And I don't, you can choose how you're going to feel about that. But that is my desire. I want to help you.
Okay.
And That's all I want to do. I want to help you get past this.
Okay.
And
well, part of me getting past it is discussing it and figuring out what your intention, what you really meant.
But I feel like we're just hitting
our heads. That's fine. We can be done with that discussion.
Because I say to you, this is what I meant. And then you say to me, no, you didn't mean that. You meant this. And I say, no, Jersey. This is what I meant. And you say, no, because then you said this one time. And
right.
I just feel like
okay,
it's just going in circles
because okay, I try understand.
To say, that's
I understand
not what
you're
I
saying. We can move on. I understand what you're saying because the damage to me has been done. I feel like
so
from our previous conversations.
Does that mean a misunderstanding is never repaired? Can anyone ever re-clarify their intent?
No, you can, and I will go home and think about it. I cannot make an immediate...
That's fair.
Immediate,
you've got the time to think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very appreciative of what you said today.
But I'm asking for that leniency. I'm asking for you to reconsider your feelings.
Oh,
and
I absolutely am. But I can't do it in this moment.
Take your time, however much time you need. But I want you to know that, and I really feel this way about Bishop and myself, that we're not out to get Tiercy. I know that. I don't just think that. And every time I talk to the bishop about you, which we do, candidly, we do, because we talk about members of his ward, I've never even sensed a portion of animosity from him about you. He actually has said to me multiple times he feels like he has a good relationship with you. He's gone to the temple to pray about you. I feel like there's no guile or malice in him. I think he legitimately wants to help you in your pain. And I do too. Now, let me address another topic, if I may.
Sure.
Let's talk about your temple recommend.
I have a question.
Yeah. I want to ask you, why did we take that away from you?
Because I did not agree with the decision that you made.
No. Everyone's allowed to disagree.
We were there to discuss that decision. And so when you asked me if I supported Bishop, I didn't. I don't support him in that decision. I still don't support that decision. I also feel like I let it happen. Let it happen, in air quotes, because...
What is let? I'm sorry, with what?
The ordinance had already happened, and it wasn't like I stood up and spread my arms out and said...
So I see an opportunity to clarify here, if I may.
Of course.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Do you want to finish?
No.
Okay. I want to clarify, because that is a misunderstanding. Your temple recommend was not taken away because you disagreed with a decision that we made. And I'm the one who took the temple recommend away, so I know why we took your temple recommend away. We took your temple recommend away because you emphatically said you would not stop talking about this with other people. That is the singular reason for which your temple recommend was taken away. And it was not for disagreeing with a decision that we made. And you're allowed, there's tons of people who disagree with me. That's allowed. You'll never be disciplined for that. Good night, nurse. You disagree with me all day long. But to not follow counsel and direction from your priesthood leaders, there's a name for that. That's called apostasy. When your priesthood leaders, right, wrong, or indifferent, when they say to do something and you say, I will not do that, then you simply cannot sit in that temple recommend interview and say, I sustain and support my local church leaders.
Can I say something?
Of course.
So this whole thing about being able to, even though I have on a piece of paper that wrote, why seek an affair? I need to want to be faithful. All of that was disregarded. All of my emails and texts of how he treated me was disregarded because you said, and Bishop said, he declared himself worthy. Do you remember that? That's the reason he was able to do that ordinance, because he declared himself worthy. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I?
No. I will in a minute. At the end of that meeting, I stood up. I said, you can take, when you asked for my recommend, I said, you can take my recommend, that's fine. But I am standing up for truth and righteousness, and I feel more worthy than ever to enter the temple. Why don't I get to declare my worthiness? Why is my declaring worthiness different than declaring worthiness?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. One that you are welcome to ask. But what it really breaks down to is that conversations about temple worthiness will happen between three people.
I wasn't questioning his temple worthiness. No, I wasn't.
I know, but...
No, we were talking about the worthiness to perform the ordinance for my son.
I know, I know.
I don't understand why you're talking about his recommend.
Well, because I'm talking about your recommend. I asked you, why did we take your temple recommend away?
Right.
You answered, which I felt was inaccurate. So I clarified, no, this is why we did it. And then you said, but wait. And then you went directly to worthiness. And so I'm...
Right, because you took my recommend away because I will not follow your counsel. But what I'm saying is, didn't follow counsel and he got to declare worthiness because he had an affair. Emotional affair. I have it handwritten by him as an assignment from our marriage therapist.
You mean like a confession from him that he had an emotional affair? Is that what you mean?
It wasn't a confession. The assignment was, what do you need going forward from your spouse? And he said, why seek an affair? I need to want to be faithful. So going forward, he wanted to want to be faithful. He had already sought the affair. Now, my question is, was he just talking about or were there previous people? I don't know. But however, my point is none of that. My point is you and Bishop insisted that because he declared himself worthy, he got to ordain. That was the sole reason. It did not matter the proof that I had because declared himself worthy. He was able to have that experience of ordaining our son. What I'm saying is I declared myself equally as worthy for my temple recommend, and I didn't get to keep it.
Can I speak to these
things that's
now?
What, yeah, sure.
Okay, so...
I'm sorry, I was just trying to clarify my question so
that's what
you
we
can
need
give
to do.
The answer.
This is what I'm here today for with you, is I
no,
want
I understand,
to clarify.
But I wouldn't want you to, didn't want you guys being, I don't know what, but I just was clarifying what my question was.
Yes, so... Let me address to a few different issues. Number one, we believe in repentance. And when I met with, which actually, candidly, has only been one time. Bishop's done most of the meetings with him. I've only met with him one time. You know, admit admitted that he was playing with fire, and that he was inappropriate. And while at the same time acknowledging that he did not physically.
Right. I have never seen that.
I'm not.
I don't think that they
did.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm being defensive. I'm sorry.
I'm just talking about an interview.
Okay, so he never said it was physical. Okay.
So he acknowledged I did wrong, and then talked to me about his repentance. Fair enough. You're allowed to doubt and question that.
When you repent, don't you go to the person you hurt?
Okay, wait, hold on.
He has not come to me ever.
Please, hold on. Please let me just finish.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, but he had talked through it with his priesthood leaders. He had been on his knees, and then the bishop, then came the issue of, well, can he ordain his son? Bishop met with him, gave him a searching interview. I wasn't in that interview. Nor were you. But I trust Bishop's keys. I wholeheartedly. He's a capable man. And he says to me, I feel he's worthy to perform the ordinance. And I stand by the bishop's determination. That is one issue. Now, the next I'd like to clarify is yours. You did not come in declaring yourself temple worthy. You did quite the opposite.
I didn't feel like I needed to until you took my recommend away when I said I am worthy than ever.
But Tiercy, please understand, when someone says, no, I will not follow that counsel, that is the same
as
saying...
Which recommend question is that?
I don't know the number, but it is a recommend question. We ask, do you support and sustain President Thomas S. Monson as prophet, seer, and revelator, and the only man on the earth who is authorized to exercise all priesthood keys? That's one question. Second question... Do you support and sustain the First Presidency and Quorum of the 12 Apostles as prophets, seers, and revelators? Third question. Do you support and sustain your local church leaders?
Right. And we were talking about that decision.
And what I was hearing...
I do not support that decision.
No.
That's what...
I want to re-clarify again.
Okay, when I answered that question...
It had nothing to do with that decision.
When I answered that question, that's what I was referring to.
Okay.
When you asked me, do I support and sustain him? No, not in that question. It was not in that question. It wasn't.
I know for a fact that we asked you the question, Tiercy. Are you willing to stop talking about this with anyone
about
else?
About what?
About what had happened. What had transpired with... And the response you gave?
Stop talking about what specifically?
Well, all of this.
The relationship with...
Yes. And everything. Stop talking to other people about this. That was the counsel we gave you. Because ultimately, what we feel is that it's divisive and that it's poison for the ward.
How is it divisive?
Because people pick sides. There are people who are in camp, and there are people who are in Tiercy's camp.
I see people talk to me, talk to her. There's no camps. I think that's fabricated.
There are camps. There are
people
who are picking sides.
I could not even tell you who's picking my side. Let me just tell you that.
Okay.
Couldn't even tell you.
Well, I don't know how to convince you that there's division in the ward right now. But I can tell you.
But here's what I love. I love that get to have this emotional affair. What I mean is that they did have this. Not that they get what semantics. They have this emotional affair.
You call me on semantics.
Okay,
all
fine.
The time.
Okay, fine. They get. What do you want me to say? They had this emotional affair. They had this emotional affair. And yet, I'm the bad guy because I need to process this.
Not at all.
That is what I'm hearing from you. You can't do it the way you want. They get to do what they want. There was no consequence to them for their behavior. None. Not church-wise, nothing. So, but yet, I get my recommend taken away. Do you not see the ludicrousy of that? They are having this emotional affair, lying to me about it. But her gifts. I mean, I could give a litany.
Yeah.
They get to do all of that, and there's no consequence for their behavior. And because I am hurt and struggling, and trying to process it, I get my recommend taken away? No, thank you. That does not work for me. You took my recommend when I should have been in the temple the most. I know of people who have said, I cannot sustain President Monson, and they get a recommend anyway.
Well, so, I wouldn't give a recommend like that.
So, I'm just, yeah, it's all the luck of the draw of your ecclesiastical leader. Yeah. I don't think another stake president would have taken my recommend away.
I'm sad to hear that. Because any church member who refuses to follow the council of their leader, then I just
again,
can't.
It's not the council. I support Bishop and everything else. I don't in this decision. And I had texted him that I could move to another stake, another ward in support. 100%. I cannot support you 100%. I do not agree with this decision. I still think it was wrong.
Again, what we need to see right now, and because if we spend all of our time talking about past,
sure,
then that's
you don't move forward.
Time.
Sure,
talking about moving forward, for you to receive your temple recommend again, we need an absolute commitment that you're not going to talk about this with anyone.
Well, here's the problem. I feel like my recommend was used against me.
Wait.
I know I'm explaining how I feel. I feel like it was used against me as a weapon. I no longer want a temple recommend.
Sorry to hear that.
I know, I bet you are. I have zero desire because it was used against me. And so I don't want to put myself in that position. That's the empowering position that I can take, I feel like.
Sure. Well,
because I don't agree that it ever should have been taken away on so many counts.
Yeah.
I don't ever agree.
Well, dear C, I don't know how to make you believe what I've said. That
I believe
that
you.
That we're actually trying to help. And honestly,
I do think you think that. I don't think that you think you're being malicious or mean. I also know that you are one of the people who have exponentially added to my burden, pain,
can you tell me
and heartache. We just spent an hour discussing it. You have completely added to the burden that I feel.
Well, I'm sorry. That has never been my intention.
I know.
And
but maybe you could examine how a sister who is hurting deeply, deeply hurting, two people get to have this emotional affair with no consequences. Was her recommend taken away? No. His for a completely different reason. And how a sister can come in hurting. You are now my priesthood leader. Bishop is now my priesthood leader. And I feel, and I know this is a strong word, but I feel raped by you too. I know that is a strong word, but you can shake your head, but the only change that can come is in examining what I am saying and how I feel. And so I am sorry that maybe I need to do the same examining that I am talking to you about. I will go home today and think about it. I understand now. I still don't know how I, at the end of the day, ended up without my recommend when I just should have been in the temple more than ever. And I am the hurting person. They are off in their happy little worlds. None the wiser. I am the one who is still deeply hurting. She is a trigger for me. Sorry, I don't know what to say. I have to see her every week at church. It is a trigger. I don't know what to do.
Did you know that you are for her too?
How? She lied to me. She betrayed me. How am I a trigger? Sorry, let me answer. How am I a trigger for her?
Well, I've met with and she cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. Acknowledging
what? Sorry.
Acknowledging areas where she could be better and could improve. But it's a reality that many, many people in the ward now know about this. And
you blame me?
Wait a minute.
I'm asking a clarifying question. I feel like you're blaming me when you say that. Are you?
Yes, I am.
What about her talking and running her mouth?
Well, I certainly think perhaps there's blame to share. All that I know is that the sources that have been made aware of this have said, Tiercy told me this. And I can only interpret that to mean one thing. I don't know how else to interpret that.
Well, here's the thing that I see. I know people who are in your circle. Does not. I've been here for 10 years. She's been here for a year and a half. And look at the mess she's created. I have been here for 10 years. And I have made an amazing network of friends who are in your network. That is why.
And all of them love you. And care very much about you. And have pleaded and petitioned for you. And what I wish everyone could know is that I'm on your side. I don't feel... You may disagree, but I don't feel like it's me versus Tiercy. I'll say this. In my opinion, you have done nothing wrong except for one thing. You refuse to stop talking to people about this. And actually, in my honest assessment, for whatever it's worth to you, I think it's hurting you more than helping you. I think letting people know this junk that has happened in your life is not helping you. You seem to think, after meeting with, I'm sure, a very qualified professional, that it is helping you. I think it's doing you a great disservice.
Let me just tell you, she doesn't know that how many people I talk to or who I talk to.
I know, but you gave me the impression.
No, all what I said is I'm an external person. This is a different person than I'm meeting now. This was the marriage therapist.
Well, but you gave me the impression that a therapist had told you that it's good for you to be talking about
this. Oh, no, that's not what I said. That's not what I said ever. I said, what she said is, I am an external processor.
Okay, well, I agree with that assessment. Yeah, I agree with that. But I think this is harming you more than helping you. And I'm pleading with you.
But that's what you don't understand. This is how we started the meeting. Things keep happening week after week. How do I stop talking about it week after week?
Well, but Tiercy, I'll offer an honest answer to that. I'm sorry, I just did that because I had church at 10:30, so I'm sorry.
It's fine.
You're right. Things are going to keep happening to you in your life that keep hurting. And you're going to have tons of experiences moving forward that are going to continue to do you wrong. And you're going to have lots of experiences that continue to add salt to your wound. All that I'm asking is that you not then go out and share it with other people. Because it...
Deny being who you are. That is what I hear you say. Deny who you are.
Well, the natural man is an enemy to God.
So, you know what? When I talk to... I want to go back to her for a second. When I talk to... She's like, I've done nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. So, I don't understand how I'm a trigger for her. I just honestly am flabbergasted by that. Well, do you know that if... Maybe if she could come apologize... It would do a world of good.
May I ask you this question?
Yes.
Now, don't take this question and turn it into something nasty.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Sure.
Because I don't want to play the semantics game with you. This is a question, not an accusation. Do you think that there's anything at all that you owe her an apology for, or no?
I think that... Yeah, sure. I mean, I know that I said stuff to her outside of the ice cream place.
However, I know that she's got a litany of things that she could apologize to you for about. But I also feel
like on the scale of things, what I need to apologize to her about
so much smaller than you.
Much smaller than what she...
I acknowledge that. I acknowledge that wholeheartedly. And I'm not... And please, can I just clarify something? I'm not asking you to go and apologize to her. That's not what I'm saying. Please do not leave here thinking that.
I wasn't.
I know.
Maybe. I don't know.
But I'm not. I'm not asking you to go and approach her and apologize. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that introspectively.
Yeah, perhaps. Am I perfect? No.
Of course,
recognize I probably shouldn't have talked to her at U Swirl? You bet. However, I knew the choice was U Swirl or the church.
Okay, can I just finish making a comment?
Sure. I thought you were... Yeah.
I'm saying introspectively. as you look over this past, how long, what's the term we're looking at here, the time period from when it happened?
Months.
6 months?
The affair or what?
Yeah.
Emotional affair?
Yeah.
What? That happened. This, well, that's been going.
Yeah. So for that time, as you look back over everything that's happened, I think it's valuable in any situation to introspectively, and I would say that these same words to, and these same words to you, and these same words to, and right, and to me, to introspectively look and say, okay, what could you have done better? I'll tell you one thing that I could have done better. I remember in our first meeting together. I cracked a smile and started laughing at one point, which was wildly inappropriate for me to do. And the reason I did it was because I was so caught off guard by, I felt like you were throwing all of these things at me, one after the other, oral sex, and I was like just berated. And I just felt like I was having a hard time processing it. And I fear that my reaction to the overwhelming information that I was getting, which I wasn't aware of much of it, I felt like maybe it sent the message to you that this is a laughing matter, and it's not. No. I was just taken back at the moment, like, wow, this is a lot. I need to process this. Perhaps we need to end.
That's fine.
But I want you to leave knowing that I'm anxious to help, and I will continue to be on my knees praying for you and for your family and for and praying for a good outcome, one where we can be amicable and where our family can be blessed. I'm speaking of the children. And I'll continue to pray that you will again be able to qualify for your temple recommend. In my estimation.
See, I do qualify for it in my mind.
Okay, but,
I do qualify for it.
But the defenders and the standard bearers of the temple are not the members. They are the bishops and the state presidents. And, you know, it doesn't matter how someone feels about that. That is
yeah, well, not to ordain our son because he felt and declared himself worthy, so.
I know, but there is please understand.
There's a complete.
Please understand.
Another boys club that's going on there or something. I don't know what, but.
Well, it's certainly not that. There is a difference, a major difference. Between performing an ordination and entering the temple. Did you know that you cannot be temple worthy and you can baptize someone?
Yeah.
And so please understand, we're talking apples and oranges here. So I think it's unfair to make that correlation.
Okay.
Two different things. And I'm pleading with you, please.
I keep telling you what I need for that to happen, and it just...
What do you need for that?
I need someone to apologize for me. I need come apologize to me. It would make a world of difference. It really would.
And if that happened, what would you then do? What, help me understand. What does that mean?
It would soften my heart.
And then you'd stop talking to people?
Here's the thing. You don't seem to realize either. I don't talk about her hardly anymore. Now it's about the garbage that he sends to me. The conversation has moved on from a long time ago, actually, to be honest with you. Except when I run into them at Walmart and he won't talk to me and I'm like, oh, they're here together at Walmart. Okay.
Look, gossip is gossip. And I'm asking you to stop gossiping.
I'm not gossiping because it's fact. Gossip is fact.
No,
is not fact.
False. False. That is not true. That is one of the biggest misconceptions.
No, I looked
church.
Up. I looked it up.
Well,
I looked up the definition of gossip.
But for example,
gossip is non-factual.
I disagree with you. I disagree with you. If I know, and I know of many couples who are cheating on each other, if I then turn around, which is fact, and then I start telling people about it, that is gossip.
Except for
it doesn't make it right that it's true. And what I'm asking...
Except for that's not your experience. It's not your realm of experience. I'm the wife. It is my...
That is... Just because you're a player in the situation does not make it right for you then to spread it.
Guess
and
what?
Perhaps that's the,
they
perhaps,
never should have done that behavior in the first place.
I completely agree.
So,
I couldn't agree more.
Sorry. I mean, I just feel like... in fact, she's told me, I've done nothing wrong. That is unbelievable to me. My 15-year-old knows you did something wrong. And you're telling me you did nothing wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I have a hard time with that.
I hope you'll believe me when I say this. I really appreciate you coming today. I know that took a lot of courage. I'm not belittling that. And I'm very grateful that you came. I hope that you'll come again. Maybe in a couple of weeks or something we can meet again and have another dialogue. Or at least, you don't need to decide right now, but at least maybe you can think about it. And I hope that you'll know that though you and I have differences of opinion, which is, that's, we're human, right? I hope that you'll know that I am on your side. I am not in only the corner of or only the corner of or only the corner of Tiercy. I feel like I'm trying to be neutral and understand that there's good things about her too. Tiercy has many good things about her. Has good things about him. And I'm trying to focus on those good things too. Anyway, will you consider that maybe a little bit?
Consider
that I'm on your side.
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
I appreciate that.
I don't think you're out to get me. I don't. I don't feel that way. I don't feel like that's the type of person you are. However, I feel like you're so locked into... I know you need to go.
One mindset, maybe?
Yeah. That you... There's no considering other possibilities. And I'm not saying... I don't know what I'm saying right now. I don't know.
Will you consider this question... Perhaps for our, I hope, next meeting, will you consider, what can I do, President Clayton, what can Russ Clayton do to ease your burden and to help you progress spiritually in the gospel? And I will